All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Movie Talks and Chill. We are your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Dutch Wall.
And in this episode, before we begin the topic...
Yes, it's really nice that Gavin's back, because now I didn't have to fight myself on saying I'm Gavin Butts.
Yes.
You always go second. Last week, Tony was like, I'm Tony Serrato. I was like, I'm Gavin. No, I'm Patrick
Wall. I'm not Gavin. Brian Fontana. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Chip Fontaine.
But we are slowly... getting closer to the actual holiday of Christmas. It is the season. We are in the midst of it. Christmas lights are up. Trees are up. Trees are selling. Gifts are going off the walls. Getting wrapped. So we're only a couple weeks away. So even though we're not going to do the actual Christmas episode this week, we will be doing a title of Debatable Christmas Movies.
Indeed. Kind
of going... not really.
There have been a few movies on this list.
And you know how we like to debate.
Yeah. Been debating for years about these movies.
Yes. So since...
us, Movie Talks and Chill, will definitively answer these questions.
Yeah. I don't care what Bruce Willis says. Die Hard is a damn Christmas movie.
Shut your whore mouth.
So since you didn't want to get angry, you said you wanted to know, but we wouldn't tell you what ours are. So give us your top non-Christmas or debatable Christmas movie battle.
Okay.
So you're not mad about it.
I wasn't going to be mad. I just didn't want... like the last time when Tony stole my favorite movie, my first word...
he just wasn't going to like you.
Yeah, yeah. The first word on the episode was me just saying, fuck. Because I don't want that to happen again.
Don't do that.
Yeah. That was your third, so...
Yeah, yeah. Which is fine.
You're three in.
So I will kick it off with the movie that everybody is already thinking of, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
Tim Burton is on the record on whether or not it is. I've read that article, and I believe it is a Christmas movie at its core. But what do you guys think?
I think it's both. I think you watch it at Halloween or Christmas. That's the best of it.
Exactly. That's why it's such a great movie.
So Tim Burton's answer was, it's either. If you watch it at Halloween, it's a Halloween movie. If you watch it at Christmas, it's a Christmas movie. So that was Tim Burton's answer. So he did agree that it's technically a Christmas movie, and... 100%, I agree with him.
Uh-huh.
That is a fantastic. It's for those people who like the spooky season of Halloween, but they still want to be festive, so they just watch Jack Skellington try and do Christmas stuff.
Or you could just watch Krampus and watch the Devil Santa kill everybody.
Or Jack Frost. But I don't think that's a Christmas
movie. Jack Frost wasn't Santa. He's just a snowman.
Yeah, he's a snowman.
Yeah, he still murdered people.
Yeah, but it's not the iconic saint.
Well, not the Michael Keaton one.
We don't talk about the Michael Keaton.
Hey, I'll talk about Michael Keaton all I want.
Oh, we've already talked about Michael Keaton. We just won't talk about his shit movie.
Hey, sorry, Michael. Don't listen to him. His opinions do not reflect the opinions of Movie Talk to Chill.
It's a host of fans
and partnerships.
33% owner of this. It does.
It's still the minority of the other 60s.
0.66666.
Yeah, yeah.
0.7, because we gave Tony the 0.1.
All right, so you've got Nightmare
Before Christmas. I'm throwing down the gloves that is a Christmas.
Throwing the gloves down.
Well, I have one that was a long time classic of mine, but it kind of got overtaken by, even though I feel it's the worst in the trilogy, but Iron Man 3.
Okay. That's what I was thinking of, actually.
I
hate it when people call it... given the
I said it was the worst in the trilogy.
Yeah. It's still a good movie. I like Iron Man.
I didn't say it was bad. It's still a hell of a lot better than any of the three new Star Wars movies that came out, and I'm a Star Wars nerd. So... sorry, I'm fighting, you know, some plain cold that I got from my trip, so...
Is it as bad as... Is it as bad as the Star Wars Christmas special?
No, God. I don't think anything is that bad. I don't know why that's still on air.
It's on Disney Plus.
I know.
I have yet to watch it, because I just know it's so bad.
Oh, God. You
treat.
Hey, if we're watching Hallmark movies, you have to watch that.
Spoilers!
We didn't say anything.
Actually, you announced last week.
No, I didn't. I just said we had something special coming up.
Oh, okay.
Well, you didn't have to say spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, now it's... oh, fuck.
Anyway, moving on to Iron Man 3.
So, yeah, especially at the very... what does he say? What's the protocol he uses to blow up everyone? Is it like the...
Oh, to blow up all the machines?
I can't remember.
Is it?
I don't know if it was something to do about Christmas or if it was like the holiday protocol or something like that.
Something, I can't remember what
he says to Jarvis, and then yeah, they all start blowing up. She's like,
it's Friday at that time, isn't it?
No, it's still Jarvis.
Jarvis didn't get taken over until after Age of Ultron.
And yeah. I thought that 3 happened after Age of Ultron.
No, 3 happens right after New York.
Oh, that's
because
right.
Because that's why it's having PTSD. Yeah.
The first Avengers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The first Avengers.
All right, so Gavin's is Iron Man 3.
All right.
And I think that's a Christmas movie. It takes place around Christmas. And at the end of the movie, the little kid, he gives him a tree and a brand new 68 Camaro, little shit, and a bunch of other gifts. So I think, and it happens around the winter time. There's lots of lights everywhere.
Kid paid his homage. He showed up to his funeral.
Yeah.
Shut up. I almost cried when I learned that fact.
Yeah.
Tony, what's yours?
Let's just get past this.
Can we just move on?
Well, I have one of two, but the one that really stuck out, because the other one people would say definitively if it's a Christmas movie, but this one is debatable, but going back to Mr. Tim Burton, Edward Scissorhands.
Okay, that one was on my list, and I was debating that one as well.
But it's all around Christmas.
See, that's...
things got snow.
See, the only thing I can remember is snow and, like, being in the wintertime. I'm not... I couldn't remember if it was, like, Christmassy, where there's trees and lights up everywhere.
Yeah.
I know he was...
It came out, like, around Christmas time.
It didn't come out whenever it wants.
Wow. Are you going to make a Christmas movie?
We got Aquaman at Christmas. Is that a Christmas?
It had Christmas lights in it, though.
So that's why I don't remember.
And you're opening it up in February. I think that's a problem.
Aquaman at Christmas. Does that make that?
No. Were there Christmas lights in Aquaman?
There were lights.
Was there snow?
Well, they were underwater.
Was there snow?
Yes.
It wasn't underwater.
It was melted snow.
There was snow underwater.
Yeah.
There was snow underwater.
Melted.
There
snow.
Was snow underwater.
Yeah.
Okay.
Melted snow.
All right, then. If you want to claim that as Christmas, then go ahead.
I'm just trying to make a point.
It's not a point. It's not no melted snow under there. It's called ice.
So I say Edward Scissorhands.
Okay.
And I say yes, it is. They do put up a Christmas tree. There is snow around all the time. It does have kind of, in his own way, Tim Burton-esque Christmassy kind of music from Danny Elfman. He does play that.
Danny Elfman.
You artistic son.
Wishes
bitch.
He was John Williams.
Hey, he still makes a lot of money.
He still does.
He may wish he was John Williams, but you wish you were Danny Elfman.
Damn right.
If I had his skills on the piano.
Didn't he married Bridget Fonda or something like that?
Probably.
Either way, just the money he's got from that soundtrack, composing.
I think he has an EGOT, just because of all of his composing.
An EGON?
EGON.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
All right.
Thank you, 30 Rock. I know what that is.
All right, so that's mine. But there are a bunch of others on the list. I have one of the list out there. So I will go ahead and say the other one. The first one I thought of that I think everybody will agree is a Christmas movie is Gremlins.
That was mine originally, too.
Yeah, that was one of the few movies I thought of when you proposed this topic.
Yes.
I mean, it's literally at Christmas.
As a Christmas
gift. The Mogwai is a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a Christmas.
Yes. And since they kept multiplying, that's the gift that keeps giving them.
Yeah.
Better than the Jelly of the Month Club part.
We even got that technically sequel movie in Manhattan around the Christmas time.
Gremlins 2. New Batch.
Yeah, the New Batch. Which I find funnier. I just don't think I find that.
Well, it was supposed to be funnier because that's why they made some of the actual gremlins, when they turn into gremlins, like the green ones, they made them more unique. Like, they had the one smart one.
Yeah, he drank
like,
the...
Yeah, he had the glasses on. Yeah.
I would like to talk to you about what's going on.
That was the one who puts on a dress and lipstick and thinks she's like a hooker.
No, that was an actual girl gremlin.
Oh.
Yeah.
It wasn't a transgendered gremlin. It was a
female.
It was like the Smurfs. There was only one female.
Yeah. Only one female.
And it was her. Yeah. And she's just slutting it up in a holiday party in New York.
Well, didn't one like turn into like a spider or a bat thing or something?
One turned into a bat at the end and tried to fly away and then turned to stone.
One also did spider.
Yeah.
And that's when Gizmo went Rambo.
Yep.
Put the dang headband on.
His little
paperclip bow and arrow.
Gizmo went Rambo.
It's amazing.
what was the thing is he was watching it, like when he's hiding or whatever, and Rambo's on, so you see him over there in the corner, like trying to push up.
Excuse me, I gotta turn the label around on my energy drink because we are not sponsored by this amazing drink yet.
And continuing, so Tim Burton's got this theme, Batman Returns.
Yeah. Also I saw on the list.
I should have just said, you know, debatable Christmas movies by Tim Burton.
Yeah,
exactly. But most of these are. But yeah, he always seems to have that, like, I think he's just a festive guy.
I think he's
got that gothic.
He's
dark side, but he's freaking fast.
He's the guy who invented that I'm still addicted to spooky season, but I have to be in the spirit.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's combine the two.
He's a jolly gothic.
Oh, that oxymoron hurts.
So I did watch this Instagram reel yesterday, and it's this kid coming in, and he's like, so I've got one day of not listening to gothic or my emo music, so here we go. And he like keeps progressing with the days, and he gets to like 6 months. It's like, I finally got a girlfriend. So, and he's like, he starts dressing like a preppy boy. And then it's like, and it's 1 year, I have relapsed. My girlfriend broke up with me, so I'm going back to my emo god music. Crying in the mirror.
You just hear a My Chemical Romance,
yes.
Black Parade,
yeah,
in the background.
That's basically what it was. Yeah. It was the sad piano song.
Danny Elfman, he hired him for that reel.
I know he did. Oh, bastard.
So let me ask you this. For the viewers out there and the listeners, what do you guys think constitutes as a debatable Christmas movie? Like, what makes it debatable? What makes it debatable to be Christmas?
All right, let's go to the phones. Oh, wait.
Wait, this isn't live?
Nope.
Shit.
So tell us in the comments. We're just going to assume what you're saying.
Hello? Yes.
Yeah. I just wondered if I could talk to Darren there for a second. I moved up to.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's not here. Sales call.
Fucking telemarketing.
We're here to talk to you about your expired office.
You know, I didn't think like, I just think the content creator market in Tampa Bay was that big, but apparently it is, because I still am getting calls and texts about new studios that are opening up in the Tampa Bay area.
Yep.
I know this is off topic, but probably the best one I've seen was like this guy gets pulled over, and he's like, the guy comes up, he's like, hey, do you know why I stopped you? He was like, yeah. And he pulls out the clipboard, and he's like, I've actually been trying to reach you about your extended
There's a great reel about some of the Christmas, you sent it to me, Gavin, about Christmas lights that they put up, and it's about all
the guy,
yeah, pizza delivery. It's the greatest Christmas lights decoration I've ever seen. I'll post it to the Movie Talks and Chill site. But
he's like, oh no, they're shooting. Let me get down and grab my gun, bitch. And he starts shooting.
Yeah, he's like, I think I got an automatic down here somewhere.
Yeah.
He's like, cease fire. If you don't let me through, this pizza's going to be free.
I'm going to kill you.
All right, so back
about?
To the question, yeah. What do you guys think constitutes a debatable Christmas movie, or a debatable movie about Christmas? What makes it Christmassy? What makes it debatable about Christmas?
Okay. If it's, so I would say debatable would be if it's done around, like, the season. It's maybe not done on Christmas Day, and it doesn't have anything to do about Christmas.
But it's just in that time, like...
Now, you're talking about the
just
movie.
Just like, say,
time, or in the movie.
In the movie.
So say like
say they got holiday songs, like they're at the mall, and you hear like Christmas music in the mall. Could debatably turn that into that.
What if it's a movie about a holiday party happening happening on Christmas Eve? You know, you're in a brand new office, and you know you're there visiting your wife. You're having fun, and then terrorists come in with guns and take everyone hostage, and then you have to start crawling through air vents, and you know. Systematically, one by one, take out the bad guys.
But you said there's a Christmas party going on?
Yes.
Then it's Christmas.
Exactly.
There's a giant Christmas tree where the party is happening.
And they actually call it a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
So what I'm saying on my build-up is like, my movie's going to be Lethal Weapon. The first one.
Yep.
So there's
the final fight does happen on like Christmas Eve, doesn't it? Doesn't like they ram into the living room on a Christmas tree?
Yeah, it's the final one. Yes.
Yeah.
But also, when like throughout the movie, where you first meet Martin Riggs, he's chasing a guy through a Christmas tree farm.
Yep.
They only bring those out in December or early or late November.
Late November. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this was in the 80s, like, so Brett, they didn't start October 1.
Yeah, if you go to a Lowe's on, like, July 5th, they will have Christmas shit out. So speaking on, by the way, I was talking about Die Hard, which is a Christmas movie. It's also a parody of Harry Potter. Harry Potter stole that, because all she does is skulk around at night avoiding Alan Rickman. And that's just a Harry Potter movie.
And there are a couple scenes in the Harry Potter series around Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll get to Harry Potter in a little bit, because that is on my list, and I will debate that those aren't Christmas movies.
Okay.
But what about Die Hard 2? Because the opening line is Bruce Willis on the cell phone saying, "I'm in D.C. for the holidays visiting the in-laws." So he's...
Which holiday?
Well, it's a super... It's Valentine's
Day. At the very end of it, the other guy's... Not the lead cop that's there at the airport, but his cousin or whatever says "Merry Christmas."
Okay.
Instantly a Christmas movie. All
right, you said Christmas.
All right.
Unless you say it in frickin' July, it's a Christmas
movie. But it is the worst Die Hard, so I was really hoping.
Merry New Year.
Well, okay, it's the worst out of the round.
So is Trading Places a Christmas movie then?
Yes.
So. I saw that on the list, and I find that debatable only because there is an iconic scene with Dan Aykroyd being in the Santa suit, like, invading the party, holding people at gunpoint. But the movie doesn't end at that. Like, it doesn't take place during the Christmas season. That just, it's like Harry Potter. Like, yes, Christmas is involved in the movie. It's just not the central point.
Yeah, but the whole beginning of the movie, they're giving out Christmas bonuses.
Exactly.
They're signing Christmas. Throughout the movie, goes between Christmas and New Year's Eve. Not New Year's, not even New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. Well, it goes past at the very end. It's, you know, they're on the boat.
Yeah, because the market has to be open.
Yep. But, it goes basically between that, like, 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that they uplifted Eddie Murphy within 2 weeks to become this posh business guy, and Dan Aykroyd fell into such a deep, dark hole within a week?
I'm not telling you that. The movie told you that. It's in the movie.
Arsenio Hall is telling me that. That's what I'm hearing.
No, Arsenio Hall wasn't in Trading Places.
Oh, that's right.
That's coming to America. Even though they did bring Mortimer and Randolph back in.
They come into America
in a very quick minute. But the whole thing is, like, the very beginning of the movie, there's a Christmas tree up. He's going in to have them sign the Christmas bonuses.
Yep.
See, I always took that as to be it was 1 year, not 2 weeks.
No,
so Dan Aykroyd signs the first holiday cards, and then Eddie Murphy signs them again. You don't get two holiday bonuses. I took that as to be 1 year to where
Eddie didn't do the bonuses. Eddie Murphy signed only the second check for Beaks.
Yeah.
Clarence Beaks.
Hmm.
That's what he signed, not the entire staff.
Because they kept paying him in, like, installments.
Which they do have that one great line. He's like, the usual bonuses check. And he's like, oh, we're paying some of these people too much. He's like, you can't escape the old minimum wage, can you, Mortimer?
My favorite scene of Dan Aykroyd in the, the two-parter is when he's on the bus eating the salmon that he stuffed the whole.
Oh, the steak.
It was entire salmon that he stuffed in his damn jacket, and he's eating it and half of his beard on the damn bus.
He's got chewing the hair in there. All right, you're not allowed to talk about Trading Places anymore until you rewatch it. You got like every fact.
But then he's like,
oh, it's a fish. He literally grabs the fish, and because as he's walking out,
that's the thing. It was on a giant plate, and he just looks at it and just grabs the whole freaking thing.
And as he's walking out, Eddie Murphy calls out to him, and he goes,
and Whipple. And then he's over there. He's trying to shoot himself in the head. And the gun doesn't go off. He throws it and finally works.
Yeah. All the images are just him holding a gun against his head. Which does happen in the movie, but not the scene I'm looking for.
How much for the gun?
Yeah.
So, that's... this was a nice debate. See, this is the point. But yes, it all does happen within that week and a half between Christmas and New Year's.
Wow.
Just so you
know. Dan Aykroyd's character gets fucked within like a week.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly thought it was a lot longer. Like, I thought it was a full year.
That was the whole reason for the bet.
Yeah, right, you remember, he got thrown in jail. As soon as they set him up, he gets thrown in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets stuck with the prostitute.
And Jamie Lee Curtis.
He goes to the bank and nothing works.
Nothing works. Eddie Murphy's getting all this other stuff.
Seized all his shit.
And then they have the Christmas party that goes on, and then because the whole thing is about the orange juice if the freeze is going to affect the orange juice.
Orange concentrate.
Yep. So they're worried about that. So that's the whole point of it. So yes, it does take place within a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Fair play. I thought it was like a full year.
Yep. No.
Patrick, you fucking idiot.
So one movie that does have, now this is one I would say, yes, it is debatable in terms of, I would say more on the negative side than it's not. It does have the Christmas season in it, but this movie does go almost all year round throughout the whole year, and it does have Christmas as one of the seasons, that's Steel Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do focus a good portion of the movie, I'd say maybe 20 of the hour and a half minutes or 15 minutes of it on Christmas, so that's a good percentage of the movie, but
yeah.
They hit Easter, they hit Halloween, they hit Christmas, so I think it's really from, like, summertime up until the next spring.
It's a multi-holiday movie.
Yeah. It's got one of them.
If you want one to watch at any holiday.
It's like, hey, let's watch the movie. I'm not going to do that.
It's going to be a hard pass.
Not saying it's a bad movie. It's a very good movie, but it's geared mainly towards the more sensitive. I mean, it's a chick flick. I'm just going to say it. I'm just throwing that out. I'm saying it. I'm doing it. I'm sticking by it. Yeah.
If you don't like it, email us.
If you don't like it, watch Trading Places.
Because I'm going to be doing that along with the movie for the holiday special that is coming up next week.
Yeah.
So I remember watching this movie, and I remember enjoying it, and I remember one specific line. It's probably one of my favorite movie quote lines ever, but was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a Christmas movie?
I'd say it's debatable. Give me a reason why.
Well, it's on the list.
There we are. That's what it takes.
I told you everything I just remembered.
They can't put anything on the internet.
Give me a reason why. It's on the list. It's on the list that I looked up.
Yeah.
I just gave you very specifics about multiple movies. We corrected a lot of the specifics that you messed up, and you give us, it's on the list. Thank you.
If you don't think I won't do it again, there's another one on here.
Oh, yay! Call him son of Google.
Dude, I learned from my daddy.
I found this Wikipedia.
Abraham Lincoln said, you can always trust everything you find on the internet.
Exactly.
One of the best presidents of all time. Abraham, how can I not trust him?
And you had to trust him because he had wooden teeth.
Him or George Washington?
That was George Washington.
None of that what you said was true either way. Jeez. And that's where I'm getting shit.
I was wondering, like, are both of you gone nuts?
Next thing you're going to tell me, Gandalf wasn't a Harry Potter. Jeez.
Wait, what? We just pissed off a third of the internet.
No shit.
Quote R2-D2.
It's Dumbledore.
Yeah, quote R2-D2.
Who lives on the Enterprise.
R2-D2 once said...
And then walked through the Stargate.
Yeah. That one's on you. You've got to answer to that fandom.
I'll take that fandom on. I've been in it since birth.
Darth Vader built Data.
Wait a minute.
I think I just got physically sick.
You need to get physically sick.
For the record, since I can't answer the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang question, I do want to say my favorite quote from that movie is Val Kilmer saying, "You know what happened? You know what you would see if you looked up the definition of idiot in the dictionary? A picture of me? No, the definition of idiot. You idiot."
Idiot. So I had one. Hang on a second. I just had it in my head.
You had one.
I had one. One, not Wong.
I said one.
It's not the only one.
The Ref.
The Ref.
The Ref is a Christmas movie. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm going to have to take your word on that
one. Let me guess. Neither one of you have seen it.
Never even heard of it.
Dennis Leary?
No.
Oh! Kevin Spacey?
No, I was thinking about...
You're thinking about Forget Paris.
No, I'm thinking about Dog.
Dog?
D-A-W-G with Elizabeth Hurley, where Dennis Leary has to go around apologizing to all the...
Oh! Yeah. No. When in that movie was he a damn ref?
Hmm?
I said, when in that movie was he a ref?
He wasn't. That was the only one I could think of.
No, he wasn't a ref in the Ref either. He had a referee, the couple that he hijacked, that, or in the middle of, or attempted. in therapy to avoid getting divorced, but they always fight throughout the whole movie. They can't stand each other. And it's Kevin Spacey. I can't remember the wife's name off the top of my head, but it's very good. It is around. It is. He kidnaps them on Christmas, or he basically hijacks them in their car. He's hiding out. He was doing a heist with his partner. They get stuck. He's got to wait it out until they can get out of there. His partner's got to get a boat so they can get out of there. Mm-hmm. And so basically, he hijacks Kevin Spacey and the wife on their in the middle of getting stuff for dinner that they're gonna have their family over that they can't stand and they always argue with.
Pretty much any holiday.
Yeah. So basically, Dennis Leary has to referee them fighting all the time, but he's basically just trying to get him out of there, and he's like. There's so many great lines in it. And he's talking about, it's like, someone said the wife, like, says she's quit smoking, but she really didn't. But he's like, oh, no, I found this, and I know you're smoking. And he's like, you're both fucking liars. And he's like, I don't lie, I don't lie. He's like, shut up. Because they're calling each other liars, and he gets a gun. He's like, oh. He's like, who has a fucking gun? I have a gun. No gun? You shut the fuck up. And he's like, did you not close the door all the way? Whatever his name, I can't remember his character name. He's like, did you close the door? Lloyd. And he's like, no. He's like, so you are a liar. And he's like, you smoked, didn't you, Carol? You know you smoked, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So you too also are a liar. He's like, liar, liar, shut the fuck up.
I mean, it sounds exactly like Dennis Leary.
It's amazing. It's a great movie.
Did he just write it too and direct it?
I mean, it felt very Dennis Leary-ish.
Dennis Leary is Dennis Leary in Dennis Leary's Wrath.
And Demolition Man.
Dennis, we've got something for you.
I'm pretty sure in Demolition Man, he got on set and the director was like, just go be you.
Oh.
You're the leader of a rebel faction and go.
Yeah. If I want to wear, I feel the urge to wear lime green jello and run through the streets nude. Why? Because I might suddenly get the urge to feel that.
So I'm looking at an article here where, I'm not sure if this is like a news article or a blog post, but the writer puts in, catch me if you can.
So I can
find fault in this.
I can see that because.
Well, it's every like 10 years.
But every time that he calls Tom Eve. Hanks, it's Christmas Eve. Eve.
Yeah, and that's every year. And that's when he figured out, he's like, you don't have anybody to call, do you, Frank?
Right.
And he's like, laughs at the very last when he's in France, I believe it is.
I'm sure it's a good, it is a great plot point, but I don't believe it makes it a Christmas movie. Just because there is a few scenes that happen on Christmas.
But it brings the debate into it.
And I'm closing it. It's not a Christmas movie.
There's Christmas trees in it. It's around Christmas time every time. That's a big point that they try to emphasize on.
The whole character is spanning like 10 years. This article says so it happens around Christmas time.
Do they ever once reference Halloween in the movie? Do they ever once reference 4th of July?
No.
Did they once reference Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Thanksgiving?
Yes. When he was in Virginia dating the nurse daughter to Charlie Sheen's dad. What the hell is his name?
Martin Sheen.
Thank you. Martin Sheen.
That's Christmas, by the way.
No one thought.
That actually is the Christmas party that they're going to.
No, it's the Thanksgiving dinner that he has to stay up all night for and cram for the bar exam the next day.
Okay.
I say it's not a Christmas movie.
Fine.
Look up what scene that was.
I will look later.
Look it up now. I'm going to say it publicly. Because you know you're going to forget by next week that he was wrong.
I'm going to devote every brain cell I have to our Christmas episode between now and then.
The entire month of December, we are Christmas.
We are Christmas.
Good or bad, damn it, we're Christmas.
So the point I was trying to make is they don't really reference any other holiday in that movie except for Christmas time. So, by that rationale...
Just because it's the only holiday reference doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
But they reference it multiple times.
The central plot isn't around Christmas. There are a few scenes that take place around it, yes, but it's not the
core. That's what the point of this... The debatable Christmas movies is
I'm happy to have this debate. You're wrong.
And it's not very, he's starting to get angry now.
At the very end, when Tom Hanks comes to capture him in France, it's Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is the movie? He runs off in the middle of July.
Whoa! This is not
Christmas in July.
Exactly makes 100.7.
Hey, you never hear that, mate? It's Christmas in July.
Or Lifetime.
Lifetime shows that it's Christmas.
I haven't had cable since 2016.
Well, just because you don't have it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
That's true.
So here's the thing. This is a debatable Christmas movie episode.
That's why it's debatable.
We didn't say Christmas was in the title. We didn't say Saint Nick was making his way down the damn chimney. We said every major iconic part of that movie, almost with the big interactions outside of the first
time. Outside of everything else.
No, outside of the first time Tom Hanks gets almost gets Frank, because I don't think that was at Christmas. When he first corners him at the hotel, and he tells
him. Oh, yeah, no. When he sees all the planes in there, and he basically says, "Hey, I've been waiting for you for my guy." He poses as the other FBI
right, right,
guy.
Right.
He tricks him.
He tells him, like, the old guy that was his neighbor is the guy that they got.
Yeah.
And he still takes the typewriter. Like, he still sneaks out of there with the check writing machine.
I mean, that is his bread and butter.
It is.
I'd have to make sure I took that with me, too. God, if it was that easy anymore.
What? Yeah. To steal?
Yeah. That was easier back then.
Yeah, that's true.
Kudos to them.
But to be fair, when you're watching Frank do all like the con stuff, and it's like very intricate and complicated, like, what the fuck? Like, everyone thinks, like, in the digital age, it's incredibly hard. But back then, it wasn't the easiest ever.
No, you just had to be more of a face-to-face good liar.
Mm.
That's all.
But he was also, there was a scene where he's like, well, the P and the L's on the typewriter are the first two to go, so you have to change those out more than everything else, otherwise you'll start getting those mismatched letters.
Minor details.
But that's the one that... That's why I love that movie, is because he focused on those minor details, that those slight little imperfections help sell the con.
That's why he was so good at it.
Yeah. And then, you know, we get the sequel of the show White Collar on USA, which basically picks up from where Frank just gets arrested. Because he just escapes from jail from doing 10 years worth of cons and frauds. I'm sure USA did not get the rights to Catch Me If You Can to do a direct sequel. So we're just going to do
change the name.
Yeah, and that's basically all they did.
So this actually would make not only this should be like almost like a pitch sequence to a filmmaker to say, let's do a documentary about debatable Christmas movies. Go all around all these different filmmakers, ask them their opinions, try to reach out. You know.
Well, in a few months, we're going to be surrounded by filmmakers. We can ask them then.
That's right. But it won't be Christmas. That'll be in April.
Well, we can still ask them.
But, no, you can pitch the idea. Say, let's do a documentary. Mm-hmm. Because then it'll give plenty of time for planning and pre-production.
We did talk to the guy who won Best Documentary last year.
Doug, Ben. Movie Talks and Chill, the workshop.
Where you at?
Brian, the time is recording. Ben, it was your birthday yesterday. I forgot to say happy birthday. So happy birthday.
We just want 30 minutes. That's all we know.
By the time you see this, it will be several days later, and apologies.
No, that would be a fun documentary to make.
Yeah.
So you do like the history of like Christmas movies, when they started.
And you can talk to the writers of the movies themselves and see if like how much of that did they want to actually play in the movie. Did they think about it when they... Was it all subconscious?
Did you think Gremlins was really going to be a debatable subject of Christmas time in years to come?
To be fair, on this podcast, it's not. We all agree that it's a Christmas movie.
Yes, but other people may disagree.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. We told them we are definitively answering these questions
you
today.
Said you were definitively answering. I believe that to debatable.
Hey, to be fair, the only thing I'm debating right now is Catch Me If You Can. It's the one I'm hardlining on right now.
Well, seeing as how you ran a 5K yesterday, I'm pretty sure I could. with minimal effort.
Wait, I finished in under 40 minutes.
Dude, that's more than I ran in last week.
I haven't run a 5K in 3 years, and I did not prep for this one. So for you listeners and viewers out there, my legs are jello.
Although when I was at Universal for 3 days, we did walk like 30 freaking miles.
Oh, I bet.
My dogs were definitely hurting.
Have you ever seen, like, a fat person that's, in, like, really into Disney and loves going to Disney World? No.
Yeah.
They basically speed walk a 10K three days in a row.
Yes, you do. They just did hover rounds.
Yeah.
Well, they have glandular disorders.
I got a thyroid problem. Yep, you're eating a whole pizza.
So I was talking with one of the bartenders at Courtside Domingo, and he's like, "You into fitness?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm into fitting this whole pizza into my mouth. That's about it."
Yep.
And he's a personal trainer outside of being a bartender, so he found it funny and then just gave me the look of shame.
Actually, you should correct. He's a personal trainer. He's a bartender outside of being a personal
yeah,
trainer.
Exactly.
That is his number one gig.
Yeah, and he really does enjoy it. Like, yeah. If we were ever to go to him and be like, "Hey, can you get me into shape?" He would just... biggest grin on his face and then beat us up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll get you in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome he's to the party, pal.
He's very good at what he does. His clients, like, take him all over the place. They, he's not cheap either. He's very good at what he does, but he would destroy us.
Like Will Ferrell in the campaign. Welcome to the fucking show.
Yeah.
Come to the gym, he said.
Yeah.
Come lift a couple weights, he said.
Yeah, goes. Have a few laughs.
All right, what else you got? I want to hear what other angry moments we can spring upon you.
Well, right now, the only thing I'm really hard-lining is Catching Me If You Can. The other movies on this one, I would generally say that they are...
okay, but you did not budge, or you did not argue one bit about Batman Returns.
I wouldn't, but that happens like the same week of Christmas.
Okay, but you said the main focal point, the main plot point of Catch Me If You Can...
Was not
Christmas.
Yes.
Do you think the main plot point of Batman Returns was Christmas?
It was a big thing in the movie.
Was it the main plot? Your whole argument on Catch Me If You Can was it was not the center plot point.
Mm-hmm.
By that rationale, the center plot point of Batman Returns was not Christmas.
Am I wrong? No, it was not the main plot point, but every scene was, like, there was even a scene where Christmas gifts are exploding. The only thing that we could say that Catch Me If You Can happened around Christmas is the only times where Frank called Tom Hanks. I can't remember his character.
No, because they're still at Christmas. He goes and visits his mother Christmas and sees her new family.
Yeah, but Tom Hanks goes to his mom in August. There's another. The story takes place over multiple years. It's like I don't consider Harry Potter Christmas because it happens over the course of the year.
There, Haley's gonna get mad at you.
Bert, give her my phone number.
She's already blocked it.
Story of my life.
Here's Patrick's phone and it's gone.
Yeah, she just wanted it so she could add it to the block list.
Yeah. Same with mine.
Haley, if you're listening,
let's dial her in right now.
We're going to the phones.
Oh, damn it. While she calls.
Yeah. How the hell did you get this number?
This isn't getting posted out to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Time travel.
Time travel.
We underestimate her power.
I built a time machine to travel to next Wednesday to find out what the topic was in case I was brought up. And I can travel back to Sunday. Catch me at the exact moment where you say I should call her, and then I call you.
And then I called you. By the way, Patrick, Catch Me If You Can is a Christmas movie. And shit on you for saying Harry Potter's not. Although, I could agree with you on the Harry Potter one, and here's why. Because they're at a school that creates magic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is Santa even a real thing in their time? Is Jesus even a real thing because he turned water into wine? Isn't that week one of wizardry? He's turning water into freaking wine. Ooh, okay. Thanks, Jesus.
So Harry Potter was stolen from the Bible.
Yeah, right. Damn it.
That just ruined it all. Okay. Oh, I got another question for you, real quick, kind of similar thing. The first Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Tim Allen, the first movie.
Yep.
A majority of that movie is not taking place even around Christmas.
Yeah, but it's him being Santa, which is iconic of Christmas. The central theme is Christmas.
The whole rest of the movie is not around Christmas.
I'm not debating this, but it is a Christmas movie.
I agree it is a Christmas movie.
By the way, has anyone seen the show?
Yeah.
It's alright.
Yeah,
I would say. A lot of people, it's getting a lot of hate for some reason. I think it's good.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe some people are just dumb with Tim Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, after a while, I still like it, but I'm saying not every, you know, it's kind of like, and I'm going to see a blasphemy for this, but I'm going to, like the MCU now. It's kind of dulling out a little bit now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, the saturation of it, it's kind of making me to where I'm like, I haven't even seen the Marvels yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I plan on seeing it when it comes out, like on, you know, Plex or whatever.
It's definitely not the worst MCU movie ever.
But it's the lowest grossing one so far.
For some dumb reason. Like, it's way better than a lot of the other ones, but...
I would say the best one that they've done past Endgame is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I would rank also up there. I mean, not on the same level, but, you know, the second Doctor Strange.
Mm.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the that one. Yeah.
I like Bruce Campbell in that movie.
I like Bruce Campbell.
Sam Raimi is on record as saying Bruce Campbell, the pizza ball guy, is the same from the Spider-Man universe.
Yeah.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Which means in all three of those movies, the same character that Bruce Campbell plays is the same. So the maitre d' in the movie theater...
He just does a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like an out-of-work B actor.
He's probably aspiring... In the universe, he's aspiring to be an actor and has to work all these
odd jobs
mm-hmm. to make up for the money.
Then finally, Papa Pizza, he punches himself and he just gives up.
Yeah. Basically.
You steal from Papa Pizza?
But that's my point. It's like, you know, the saturation of certain things. Like, I haven't even looked at, like, what they're planning on coming out with in the next little bit. I haven't seen the rest of Loki yet, but I heard that kind of fixed a lot of people's weirdness.
The end of that was excellent.
I heard episode 4 kind of rewrites half the MCU.
Well, I mean, not only that, it's...
I'm on
it's
episode
just,
3.
The whole thing of it was just... And I was surprised that they actually only did 6, but... When you look at it, it just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that's kind of how you feel the direction of it is, like, the direction of it goes
everywhere. We think that's a metaphor to, like, how the MCU is going right now? They don't have any control over it, and then it takes, like, one person to rein it all in?
Probably.
Well, I also read, and I don't know if this is true, because it's internet stuff, and you can't always trust me, but that, you know, Kevin
Feige
was looking to, or maybe not him, but people were presenting to him about... rebooting the MCU.
I heard about that too.
Now again, I don't know if that's just fake news, leaked news, you know.
I saw that from like multiple people. Like, it's something that has been said, whether or not it's actually going to
happen. I'd say, well, all they need to do is just continue from where they're at, but just slow down, make less, do them better, or, you know, make less with bigger, bolder stories, but less of them. So instead of doing what we're doing now, where we're spitting out every other year another one, well, I mean, but minus the strike and everything and COVID halting things back for a while, but just go back to like when they first started. You know, they did maybe one movie a year, but they focused just on that, but they're not spitting out two or three. Because I think if they reboot now at this point, I know we're getting way off topic, so I don't want to talk too much about it.
I want to say one thing when you're done before we get back.
All I was going to say was if they even try to reboot at this point or do something like that, they're going to go fall into the DCU. Struggle.
Yeah.
And they're coming back strong. They've got Aquaman 2 coming out. And they did the smart thing and edited out Amber Heard from like 90% of that movie.
But they have like a strong backlog of a film, backlog. They've made a lot of really good ones. So I'd say just continue now and say, hey, sorry about what we did here this past couple of years, but we're just going to keep moving forward with what we have in the same storyline, timeline, multiverse line, and just keep going and just kind of hope that everybody forgets about that little lag, because we're all human. That's all I want to say about that, though.
My main problem with the MCU right now is that the movies and the TV shows are blending together. If I had never watched WandaVision, half the plot of the new Doctor Strange movie would have been entirely lost on me.
Well, that was kind of their plan with it, too. Yeah. They were saying, because if you just have the side series, and there's some people who don't like watching series, or there's some people who like, you know, watch movies but not series, or series but not movies, they're saying... You have to watch it. It's kind of forcing you to get by Disney Plus and get all these other things, and it's a marketing point.
And I hate that. Like, I love like if it was like a little throwback or an Easter egg in the movie, I'm like, oh, that's from Loki. That's cool.
Yeah.
But not the fact that if I don't watch season 1 of Loki, I have no idea what the hell is happening in the movie.
But that's the point of it. That's exactly. I know you don't like it. I'm not a fan of that style either. However, it is a good marketing ploy.
Oh, it works.
But think about
Disney Plus now rivals Netflix.
But they are not doing anything different than, and again, I don't want to talk too much on this, but they're not doing anything different than with what actual comic books did. Because when they had crossover storylines and joining stories, you had to read this issue of Spider-Man and this issue of Iron Man, and this issue of the Avengers, all to understand, and the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, to understand this one plot point. Like, they all interchange. So if you didn't get that one issue, of that one particular comic,
yeah,
you would have been out of the loop on what the story is in the next issue of a completely different comic.
Yeah.
When they did the crossover. So that's, I think, all they're really trying to do.
And then the Arrowverse kind of did that a little bit, too. It made you watch, like, all the shows instead of just, like, Arrow or The Flash.
But at least Arrowverse was just the TV shows on the same network, whereas, like, you know, this is like, you have to go to theaters to watch a movie. You have to have Disney Plus to watch shows at home. You know, you have to do different things. But that went way off Christmas. I'm sorry, that was my fault.
That went back to episode 2.
Yeah. It always brings back just what I thought was pulling me back. Pulling me back. All right, so I can't really find too many other, or even the ones that I thought of were considered debatable. I think we had some good debates, but we do have about 10-15 minutes left, or 10-14 minutes left. So I think you had mentioned it last time, kind of offline, just kind of discuss now that the holidays are coming up, if they're, what you guys got going on. What are your holiday plans? Because the Christmas episode that we're going to be doing in the next week, for the following week, then when Christmas is coming out, that one's going to be more focused on actual Christmas movies, but figure we could say this is the planning time. We only got a couple weeks left before the actual holiday, so.
So I'm going to be doing the same thing that I do every year. On Christmas Eve, I'll be going over to my mom's house, and we'll be doing a family gift exchange, and then on Christmas Day, we'll be going over to my sister's house to have dinner. And for everyone this year in my family, they are just getting a photo of my cat, because she is alive, and I've spent a lot of money to keep her that way. So there went all of the Christmas gift ideas. It went to the vet. If you like my cat, congratulations. You get to see more of her.
Said every OnlyFans.
I was going to say that ever. That is.
I said cat. I chose cat.
Careful. Like and subscribe. Congratulations. You're going to get to see more of her.
Don't worry. She's not very here.
I wish that was true.
All right, so Patrick's giving out cat photos.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, this year the family's coming here, so that's going to probably be a crazy
crazy. So that's why you went up for Thanksgiving.
Part of the reason. My mom's coming down. She's her and my stepdad are going to stay with me for a couple of days, and they're going back, and then on the 27th, my dad's coming down, and he'll be in Orlando through New Year's, so I'll go up that weekend to see him, and he'll be back here for New Year's.
Oh, nice. Okay. How about you, Mr. Tone?
I am going to celebrate the hell out of this year. No, I don't know.
Are you guys shutting down again for Christmas? Does the
We always shut down like for that weeks? For that week and a half in between. Because Christmas is on a Monday this year, so our last day will be that Friday. Usually we shut down about like the half day of that Friday. And then we're done all that following week up until after New Year's. So we usually go back a couple days after New Year's.
It's the same thing for my firm. Like, I have a half day on that Friday before Christmas, and then I don't go back until the 2nd. For my main job, for my second job where I work at the grocery store, they do not give it about my holiday plans. I will be working 4 days a week.
Yeah, because, you know, people want to get stuff.
Yeah, they have to eat and drink and stuff, you know, be merry. Eat, drink, and be married.
Yeah.
That's why the supermarkets are...
Well, that's my name. Do shit.
Why supermarkets are an infallible business idea.
Yep.
People need food.
Yep.
That's why Publix still exists. Like, we'll charge you an arm and a leg, but we know you're coming.
Don't worry, they've got that new rewards program now.
Yeah.
Do they? As an employee, I'm not made aware of
If you don't come here, you could die. That literally could be a slogan of a grocery store.
Yeah,
if you don't buy our stuff.
If you don't buy my stuff.
Not saying you will, I'm saying you might. There's a better optimal chance
if
of
you
your
don't
death
come here, your odds are you're going to Walmart grocery. Yeah. Do you really want to do that?
That's what I always loved about news ads during the day. It's like 3 o'clock. It's like, hey, tonight, the most deadliest thing you could eat. It could be on your dinner table right now, tonight at 11.
That's 4 hours after I mean dinner.
Exactly.
20 or 12 tonight. Let's eat at midnight.
Can we just skip dinner?
The one thing I don't understand about advertising is the ads for toilet paper. Are people not aware of this product? Why are we advertising? It's toilet paper.
Have you smelled some of the people that come into your store?
Fair point. Genuinely, some of those people do not know what deodorant is.
Yeah. So. Other than that, though.
outside of that.
But with the upcoming time, you know, like I said, Christmas lights are up. It's always fun to just kind of drive around. They got the Christmas music playing on two of the stations around here. So for the viewers that are not from the St. Petersburg, Pinellas County area, you know, 100.7.
Well, they've been blessed since early November.
early November.
And Mariah Carey will leak on to 93.3 every now and again.
But a couple things I want to point out, though, real quick before we do our end wrap-up, our full wrap-up, is if you are in the St. Pete area or the Pinellas County area and you're not aware of this, which you should be, but if you're not, there is an amazing light display, and it's called the Lights of Lake Park. And it's in Seminole, just near off 102nd Avenue by Lake Seminole, actual Lake Seminole. Pull into the neighborhood. It's actually a hospice-driven fund. There was a couple that lived in the housing development. It's a huge housing development. Lived there. One of them got cancer many, many years ago. They were a pillar of the community. Hospice came in, took care of them, took such great care of them that the husband wanted to do something for the wife. So he asked hospice, he asked his neighbors to put up lights. And people could drive through, like, and it's almost every house has lights up, and it's very decorative, and they have a whole path that you map that you have to follow, but you do donations to hospice, and he ended up getting cancer years later, hospice care as well, ended up passing away as well, but the neighborhood still does it for hospice in their honor. So it's an excellent cause, but you don't have to donate, you can just drive through, they're not expecting you to, but there, you see all the neighbors are sitting outside on their porches, some are cooking out. Some are just chilling. Some are just hanging out. There's music playing in some of the houses. You turn on, they have it set to a radio station. When you get into the neighborhood, you turn on that. I can't remember which one off the top of my head. But you play it, and it matches to the music that's playing throughout the neighborhood. So they really do a whole big thing up every year. So it's called the Lights of Lake Park. You can look it up. Just Google Lights of Lake Park in Seminole. Or you can go to the hospice website. Just want to throw that out there. We are not an affiliate with hospice, but I know personally a lot about it, and it is a great place to go, and I check it out every year. Right. And also, if you're in the Largo area, Botanical Gardens in Largo has an amazing light display over there.
They had the Ferris wheel up before I went on
That's Largo Park.
Largo Park.
So that's Largo Park, which is also very good. You kind of go through there. They have Ferris wheel. They have little rides for kids. They have movies playing.
Got the train.
They got the train. It's all lit up. Take you walk through there. But the Botanical Gardens does something similar. It's just they light up the entire Botanical Gardens, but they have live music playing out there. You can get hot cocoa. You can get some drinks, some foods, or snacks. Really fun little place to go to, too. And I think most of these are, like, you know, donation requested, but it's not necessary. Yeah. So if you're down on your luck or you don't have a lot of funds, don't worry. You still are welcome to come and join it in the fun. Don't let that stop you. But if you do have a little extra change and you do want to donate to them, that's always a good cause to donate to.
You can always bring a picture of your cat.
Yes. It is now legal tender. But in the same vein, when I used to live up in Clearwater, like North Clearwater, like Sunset Point Road, Clearwater, there's a subdivision called Beckett Lake. Mm-hmm. And there are four houses that always join together to make this fantastic like light display. Like you would go around the side of their house to the backyard, and then all four yards were connected, so there was this beautiful display. Like you had those deers that raise and lower their head, but they're like tugging lights. There's fantastic displays. There are lights that go to the beat of music and everything. So it's not as big as the Seminole Lake, but I mean, if you're in that area, and it was within walking distance to where me and my mom live, so we did it all year. I don't know if they still do it anymore, because I don't live that close anymore. Yeah. But if it's still there, it's a fantastic thing. It only takes about 20 minutes, but it's really fun. They do, like Tony's suggestion, they do take donations, but unfortunately it is not for hospice care. It is just to pay their $300,000 power bill that these lights cost.
Huh. Still not going really in their pocket. It's going for the expense. So yeah. Keep it up and running.
I mean, all four houses, they take their share of whatever donations they get, because the amount of lights and power that these houses are using is extraordinary. And they do it from December 1st to like New Year's. Like it's like their power bill is outrageous. And they
That's
even
get small.
Yeah, they even don't get me started on Duke right now. they even, like, last time I went was 2018. They posted, like, the reason why we're asking for donations, they put the power bill from, like, 2017 up front, and it was, like, $20,000.
Huh. So, check out those things. If you have any questions, just send us an email. Still email us about, you know, whatever you want about the show, but if you have any particular questions about what we just talked about, feel free. Also, one more quick thing before we go. Just a wild thing that I read about. There's a show, the radio show, Dave and Chuck. That list, I don't want to say the whole thing in case I'm not allowed to. For legal purposes.
Yeah, we're not lawyers. We don't know what we're allowed to say.
Yeah, that. So there's a radio show on the Shark 98.7 here. Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks ago.
Well, it's a public name. I don't see why you wouldn't be.
I'm just being careful. But regardless, so the head of story, and this is related to movies, there's a guy in Largo. I can't remember his name. I don't think they give his last name. Lives in Largo.
Largo Man.
They're doing a whole story about him because he is actually trying to acquire 1 million VHS copies of his favorite movie.
What's his favorite movie?
He's got so many thousands of them right now, but all he has to acquire VHS. Take a guess. It's not even Christmas.
Okay.
So this
one. I'm assuming it's a fairly popular movie.
It's a very popular. I'll give you a hint. That's a James Cameron movie.
Alien.
No. Nope. You have to hear the. Yeah, the second time. What do you? It is a James Cameron movie.
James Cameron.
Avatar came out. No, that was DVD.
Oh, Titanic.
Yep.
No.
He's like, for some reason, he said he watched it once a day ever since it came out.
Isn't that a two?
Yeah.
VHS.
It's a three-hour movie. There are two cassettes.
He's trying to collect a million copies of it. So
it's like just saying, I want to read Paradise Lost. There are eight books in that series. Yeah.
In case I want to read it more than once. But I don't know. I can't remember what I didn't read the whole story of it, but they said a man in Largo, Florida. I'm like, yeah, it sounds about right. I don't want to get Titanic.
You don't even have to say Largo, just Florida.
But yeah, so we.
Largo makes it warm.
Just because I can see it from my apartment.
But yeah, we are about out of time though. But as always, remember, check us out on all our platforms, our
YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, our website where we're hosted by SoundCloud for the last 5 or 6
episodes. We're not hosted by them.
We use their services to host the episodes on our website.
Yes.
And it's only the latest, like 5 or 6, I believe, though. It's not like the entire library.
Yeah, it's not the library.
Spotify has our main library.
Every other platform has their library. except for YouTube. YouTube has only the most recent, I think it's 23 videos, because that's when we went live with video.
Yeah, so I was looking at it yesterday, and I think our interview with Tony Armour is the first one. That was the one, but I think we actually started releasing regularly with our interview with Haley.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that was when it first started. So, but I think there's 23 total videos, I think, as of now, somewhere around there. But we always want more subscribers, so subscribe to that. Check it out.
Fun fact, the reason why I was scrolling through our YouTube channel is I was looking, like, everyone says don't read the comments, like, toxic people on the internet. We don't have any toxic comments. We don't have any comments. So do me a favor and go comment, please.
We got a couple.
Yeah, one of them's from my
mom. A lot. But we got a couple. But that's what
there's
we
more
than
Travis
for.
You ever text someone and instead of just writing out a full message, they'll just send you like 3 individual sentences?
Yeah,
that's how he commented on one of our videos.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
Chaz, we love you, but don't hit that enter button, bro. Just wait.
But yeah, and also remember, you can check us out on Sundays. We're available on WDBF.com, WDBF.FM for WDBF Radio. Every Sunday, again, we're still at the beginning of the year planning on being with, or getting posted up with Elevation Films,
mm-hmm.
or Elevation Artists. I think they go by multiple titles.
Yeah.
But that's all being launched. They're still the ones in that.
It's owned by one company, and we're part of the subsidiary, and we're part of the media, not the advertising.
Ipso facto, I'm your boss.
So we'll be
I lost my shares.
Yeah. we'll be on there, coming up at the beginning of the year, so check us out. If the year is moving by quickly, we will be talking about end of year stuff for next year, but we got sunscreen coming up in about four and a half months, really.
Yeah.
So
we got some special guests lined up coming onto the show.
Yes, indeed. We got some movies to review. We got some requests, so we will be going through that here shortly. But anyway, for this week, we wanted to talk about this. But next week, we will be doing our actual Christmas episode.
And I think we can announce it now.
Yeah, but you announce it.
Okay.
That's your idea.
So for this year, for our Christmas episode, each of us are watching a separate Hallmark TV movie, and we are going to spend 15 to 20 minutes talking about and discussing the movies that we have put ourselves through. The movie I really wanted to watch that's kind of sparked this idea, unfortunately, is not a Hallmark movie, but I may watch it anyway. It's Falling for Christmas, but it's a Netflix movie. But it's not. I have to.
That's not a Hallmark movie. I know. You're not dragging us into your pit of hell.
The reason why it's not going to be my movie is because it's a Netflix movie. It's not a Hallmark movie. Yeah. And if I'm giving you guys the same rules, I have to stick to them.
Yeah, you do.
I sent the group a nice Instagram about every Hallmark movie.
Yeah, it was funny.
That actually was pretty funny.
Wait, I have to stay here until Christmas Day? Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. Where's my car go?
Yeah, where's my car? There was nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
You're making out with him? You've just met him like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you want to get engaged? I've known you for 2 days.
Is there a mistletoe like every 8 feet in this house?
But yeah, so
I'm generally interested to see what our thoughts of the movies and how much alike they are. Like, I'm guaranteed these are cookie cutter. We're all going to text each other the movie we're watching just to make sure that that's not the same. But
we're all going to give the same review.
All three of us are going to describe as different movies, but the same movie at the same time.
Yes. And Dean Cain will be hosting most of them, starring in most of them.
Forgot he's signed a 30-year contract with them.
But until then, we will talk
Superman, one episode of Burn Notice, and then Hallmark movies.
So we'll be talking to you more about that next week. Enjoy the Christmas celebrations up until then. Check out a tree. Check out some lights. We'll see you for the Christmas episode next week. But until then, for Movie Talks and Chill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrano.
I'm Gavin Butts.
Patch Wall.
All right, guys. Take care.
Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com. Email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then.
Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.